Today on Rockin' the Suburbs.
Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Tim Kaine and Mike Wagner.
Tim Kaine and Mike Wagner who?
Tim Kaine and Mike Wagner walk into a bar.
Wait, are you starting a new joke?
Okay, day two.
Yes.
Of our Tommy Stinson interview. You're going to hear that today. Before we do that, let me just mention again, I got a little Star Hill warehouse pills, heavy rotation warehouse pills.
Heavy rotation. Going.
And I don't know if you noticed this pint glass. Check this out.
Saw that. Yeah. Oh, it's actually, it doesn't look like it's rubber, but it kind of is rubber.
Yes, it's called a Silla pint. I guess it's like silicone or something.
Oh, interesting. Yeah.
So I got this from running in a... in a three-mile race.
Nice.
On May 17th, you can see here the ACLI Capital Challenge. It was in Washington, D.C.
Got it.
It was the same race. Some people may remember there was news of a senator or congressman? Congressman.
An elected official.
An elected official, a member of our Congress, who was running in the race, and he like collapsed.
Oh yes,
like 2 miles in.
I
or
remember
something
that.
Like that. And that happened there, but I was fine.
Oh good,
I was fine. I actually did pretty well.
You made it to the end and got yourself a beer.
I did make it to the end, and that's the funny thing is like, and then they gave me this pint glass.
Nice.
For running in this race. So
it wasn't Tim Kaine by any chance?
It was not
it?
Tim
oh,
Kaine.
Okay.
Although we did hear, or
about
we're going
Tim
to
Kaine.
Hear.
We
I'm
are.
Sorry, in this portion of the Tommy Stinson interview. Some talk of Tim Kaine.
Yeah.
But anyway, this would be really nice type of thing at the beach, don't you think?
Perfect.
Where you can't have glass,
that's
right?
That's right.
So, but you can still have a pint.
Exactly. Still have your beer, and it can deal with the sand as well.
Yep. All right. Enough talk about that. That's not why you called. This is Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Lennon.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And as I mentioned, this is part two of our interview with Tommy Stinson.
Yep.
You're going to hear... Tommy Stinson, of course, from The Replacements and Guns N' Roses, and his project that he leads called Bash and
Bash
Pop.
And Pop.
We're going to start this interview here with some questions that we took from listeners. So listeners tweeted us questions. I think we asked three of them. So I just want to give a shout out here. Thank you to Mike Wagner, Peter Beth, and Scott Boykin for these questions. Now let's hit the interview, right?
Yep. Let's do it.
We got to Hungary. Maybe just got a little bit too tired to go to sleep. Maybe I'll check the weather out on the limb. Perhaps we went too far for starting over again. Cause we can't be bothered for any of that. Now we can't be bothered for any of that. Now we can't.
I want to ask you some questions we got from some of our listeners.
Got a couple good ones.
Yeah.
All right.
First question from Mike Wagner. How did you end up jamming with Tim Kaine?
Funny thing. I met his son in Minneapolis last year when Chippy and I were out there doing Cowboys in the Campfire. And then cut to a year later, I get a text about 3 months ago. As I was going to Newark Airport in the morning, I had a really early flight to fly to Seattle. And I get this text, "Hey, Tommy, it's Tim Kaine. You met my son Woody. I'm a big fan. Wow. I love your music. You know, I live in Richmond, and if you ever come down to Richmond or D.C., let me know. I'd love to meet up with you and have some food or something." I'm like, and I'm getting on my plane right then, and I just texted back, "Is this for f***ing real?" and by the time I landed in Seattle, he said, "Absolutely." I get the next part of the text, "Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Give me a call anytime you're on. I'd love to hang out." So then,
awesome.
Because I'm working on a TV pilot right now that this was going to be part of this whole thing, the session that we did, I went, my buddy and I and Chip drove down to Richmond, and we hung out and chatted politics and stuff for a while, because that was the reason why I wanted to go down there and meet with him for that. But then he breaks out his harp and he has a couple friends that came over and we just started, you know, passing the songs back and forth. That's awesome. And it was fun. And you know what? The guy can play. So it was, you know, it wasn't like I was being suffered. Yeah, I was suffering from having to do this thing that was going to be such a drag. The guy can play, so it was a lot of fun.
That's amazing. That's wild, man.
Yeah.
All right, we got a question from Peter Beth. He asks, do you have a favorite band from the Minneapolis scene who never made it big?
Jeepers.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. No.
They all made it big?
You know, I think I moved away from Minneapolis before any of those bands that I knew would have, you know, been cool. I mean, the early days, I mean, we played with Husker Du. I wasn't a huge fan of them. The Suburbs, I was a fan of them. Yeah. They made it pretty big, though. They got, you know, yeah, for Minneapolis standards, right? Pretty big. So yeah, it's hard to think of anyone else.
Suicide Commandos, maybe.
Well, you know what? They were before my time, right. Actually. So I didn't even, you know.
Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah, they were already done by the time we hit the scene. So
Prince.
Yeah. The biggest.
I don't know how it came out for him, fortunately.
Scott Boykin asks, how is Slim Dunlop doing in his health battle?
Sadly, Slim's not getting better and probably won't get a whole lot better. You know, his health is just slowly deteriorating. He's, you know, he's had a major, major stroke. And it's left him where he is right now. I mean, he's still got some cognitive thing going on. You can tell when you visit with him, he communicates with you and you know he's there. He's just not able to, you know, speak a whole lot and this kind of thing. So it's a sad situation. It's really sad. Hard to watch your friend go down so hard. But, you know, I guess for his wife, Chrissy, I think it's, you know, she'd rather have him there in that state than not to have him at all. And I can understand that and appreciate that.
Sure. Yeah. When's the last time you've seen him?
I didn't see him this last time I was in Minneapolis, but I talked to them last 2 weeks ago. Peter was over at the house and I chatted with him and they passed the phone to him and I guess he got a smile on his face and all that.
That's nice. How much did that record help?
What, the songs for Slim? It helped a whole lot. It raised about $50,000.
Wow.
Or something. It was a lot of money for a little effort and it was great. You know, the turnout was really great. People really loved it and we had fun doing it for our friend.
I want to ask about that because, you know, that obviously then led to you guys having the reunion and all of that. And I went to see two shows on the reunion tours that you did. What did it feel like? It felt to me like there were more people at these shows than, you know, bought the records back in the day, you know?
What did that
feel like to you to have all this love, you know, coming back at you?
It was fun. It was a lot of fun for the moment there because, you know, like you said, we're bigger now than we were then. It's, oddly enough, I don't really know how that works, but it happened. A lot of people showed up. They seemed to like it. We had fun with it for a minute until we didn't.
You did a couple of years, happen. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Might have gone a little further than we needed on that, but... Yeah, jury's out on that.
Will you and Paul work together again at all?
Most likely in some fashion. we've always stayed in touch and, you know, goof off, get in the studio once in a while, do stupid shit.
Do you spend any time, Tommy, thinking about the legacy of the band? I mean, Bob Mayer's book came out, which was really well received, and, you know, the reputation continues to, I think, just get better and better. Do you spend any time thinking about that at all?
No.
Yeah.
kind of lived it, kind of, you know, it lived through me.
I can see that.
Because your fans do. I mean, your fans really care about that.
Oh, band. Yeah. I mean, it's just that I got so many other things going on in my life right now. I don't really sit and just kind of, you know, doze off and think about the past.
I think, the legacy thing is always interesting to me. Anytime you talk to a musician, we've interviewed in the past some people who have been, I think, you know, pioneers and hugely influential, right? Particularly a guy like Mike Watt or John Doe.
Yes.
You know, I think it's hard for them to quite see it.
Yeah.
It's always weird for us as fans. You know, we think like it's all just crystal clear. Like,
yeah,
you know, and how can you even, you know, how do you even go on? Right. It's
right.
just like you did this thing that just seems to us to be so huge. But for them, it's just like it's just something they did. They weren't necessarily thinking that way at the time. No. Right. And I still don't know that they can think that way.
Thinking of like Jody Stevens when we were at Arden Studios. Right. You know, it was just a band he played in for a while, and they cut a couple of records, you know, but they're monumental to you and I.
Yeah. And as Tommy said, you know, if you dwell too much on it, then you can't really move forward.
No, that's
anyway.
Right. Yeah. And he's very much about doing that now.
Yeah. So you weren't able to go.
I was not,
to the Bash and Pop show when we did this
interview. I had to leave before the set started. Mike Snyder came and took my place.
He did.
Thanks to Snyder.
He's a reliever. He comes in.
He's a good man. Middle reliever.
That's right. So the Bash and Pop show was really fun,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, definitely captured that kind of spirit of rock and roll. It was just, you know, come out and play for an hour and a half, one song after another, not a lot of like stage banter or anything like that, you know, loud and fast and just really fun. I will say the crowd, it was a full house. I don't know if it was sold out, but it was probably pretty close. It was pretty crowded in there. It's not a super big venue or anything. The crowd, I had a hard time kind of figuring it out because it didn't seem like a bunch of old guys like us who would remember, you know, the Replacements in the
80s. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
Or even the first Bash and Pop, which was the early 90s.
Right.
93 was that record.
Right.
And I saw them on that tour in Chicago. So it was not that, but it also wasn't like a lot of kids either. It didn't feel like 20-something. And I'm kind of wondering, like, what's the connection here?
Yeah.
It feels like that would have been in the gap.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. Maybe they know him from Guns N' Roses.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's got to be a few Guns N' Roses fans in there. Chinese Democracy fans.
To some extent.
Yep.
Or maybe it's just, again, shows you the power of that Replacements reunion and just drawing a bunch more fans, expanding their fan base.
Mm-hmm.
And now with things like Spotify and so on, it's so easy to explore all this stuff and you become a super fan, you know, without tons of effort like back in the day.
Yeah. And their legacy continues to grow, as we've talked about. Yeah.
All right. So let's take a quick little break here.
Okay.
We're going to come back with the epic conclusion of the Tommy Stinson interview.
Can't wait. Jim, I have some really good news.
What is it?
My subscription started to Rockin' the Suburbs today. So this morning I woke up, I walked outside to get my newspaper, and right there next to it was my Rockin' the Suburbs.
Yeah, that's great. So somebody brought it right to you. It came to you because you
subscribed. Yeah, it was great. So when you subscribe, you don't have to do anything. It comes to you. So if we put out a new episode, it just shows up.
Like one of those boxes of food that people get delivered to their house, or like a bottle of milk, right?
Set it and forget it.
Okay. So how would somebody do that?
Well, what I would recommend, Jim, is go to iTunes, and there's a little purple app on your phone you can use, and you can search Rockin' the Suburbs. Just hit the big subscribe button that comes up, or you can go to iTunes on your, you know, manual home computer, type it into the database, put it through the mainframe, and it'll give you a big subscribe button. You just click that.
So, unfortunately, one thing I don't think you can do is just open up the window and yell.
Not for this one.
I don't think that'll do it.
It's going to take a little more
effort. So don't do that. Go do like Patrick said. Go on your phone, on the app, or go to your computer. And please, it would really help us out. Hit the subscribe button. Subscribe to Rockin' the Suburbs. You will not regret it. It'll come right to you. Okay, let's hear the rest of the interview with Tommy Stinson.
All right.
With the reunion and then, you know, the 18 years with Guns N' Roses, you know, does that put you in a good spot now to just, you know, be able to do what you want to do?
Yes and no. I mean, yes, because they both provided me with a, you know, a great paycheck for a long period of time. And now I'm free and clear to do whatever I want. No, you know, commitments to worry about with anyone else. The only part that's a little bit rough sometimes is just trying to get out there enough to make money and make a living out of it. I mean, like I said, I got a 9-year-old that kind of holds me back a little bit. But you know, just keep plugging along.
Anything Could Happen. Why'd you choose that as the title for the record?
I secretly played it for some of my radio programmer friends.
Oh, really?
And I got a consensus on it.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. I like it as a sentiment too, you know.
Well, that was the other thing. I mean, I played a couple things. I had a couple different ideas for titles. The record company balked at a couple of them.
Yeah.
But Anything Could Happen came up, and we found some photos to go with it, so it worked out.
Yeah, I like it.
Thank you.
I think it makes sense.
Yeah.
I think it fits.
Yeah. It's a great record. It really is.
I had to go on the lyrics to that song today. Keep forgetting.
How do you feel about, I mean, you've pretty much done everything from small clubs to huge venues with the various, you know, bands you've been in.
Yeah, yeah.
What do you prefer?
I think I just prefer to play. I mean, I don't have a preference. I mean, obviously, if I'm playing in front of a lot of people, it's fun to play with, but I'll play wherever.
Okay.
I'll play living rooms. I mean, I just like to keep going and keep myself moving and do as many interesting, different things as I can because I get a short attention span, you know?
Yeah. I wish more people had that attitude, though. You know, I think a lot of successful artists sort of tour in this kind of rut where it's like, I'll play the same club every time and, you know, it's the same experience every time.
Yeah. So. No, I can't really do that. You know, mostly awesome. Too, because you can't keep playing the same places without losing people. So I got to switch it up and switch up what I'm doing. You know, the Cowboys and the Campfire is a little more of a country thing.
Right. Yeah.
We just two guys making as much racket as we can possibly muster. and, you know, it just turns out to be a fun thing. And like I said, it's like I have a short attention span, so it kind of helps me move around a bit.
You know, one of the things that I think people really liked about The Replacements and I think like about Bash and Pop is that beyond just the songs themselves, there's sort of a real spirit of rock and roll that comes through.
Yeah.
That's kind of a abstract thing, but is it something you think about? Is it something that you know strive for, or how do you sort of go about that?
You know, I don't really. I mean, I just try to be honest. I try and put honest music out. I try and be honest to myself, you know. And I like to try, you know, you take risks, and the risks is where the rock and roll really is. You can't just get stayed in your approaches to things and expect to, you know, do a service for yourself. So I like to try and switch it up. I like to kind of, you know, toss caution to the wind, you know, once in a while, especially in the recording side of things. Like, we're going to go record in Nashville next week. And Nicole Atkins is going to produce it and,
cool.
And, do a duet with me. So I'm looking forward to that. Nice. Another interesting bit to do.
Speaking of that, you've done some production work. Do you find that satisfying? I mean, I think that attitude you just described would be perfect for a producer.
Yeah,
you know?
No, I do. I love producing. It's fun for me. I also, at this point, after what we've been doing all year, kind of in the mood to have someone else take that seat. And Nicole was, she bit, so.
That's great.
Sugar. But I love her record. Awesome. I love her record a whole lot that she made. And she sent me it on the fly so I could check the whole thing out. And I just thought, this would be an interesting thing. And I have a duet idea. You know, let's try this out. And she's way into it, so.
All right.
Very cool.
I know it's really hot in here. Yeah. We probably want to go. We want to give him some relief. Can I ask you? I guess I got two last questions.
All right.
And do you have anything else?
No.
Okay. All right. So last question is, can you give us a little bit of behind the scenes on what it was like to record Chinese Democracy?
It was a long process, but it was a cool process in that Axel kind of produced that record in a way where he put all this guys in the room to try and develop those songs together, and everyone's part kind of had to get in there, because he's not the kind of guy that's like, well, I'll play your song, but you got to play my song, or I ain't playing his song. He's not into that shit. They went through that early on, I think.
Yeah.
And he just got to a point where he's like, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. I'll play your song if you play on his song, and you play on his song, and I'll play in that song. And it's like, okay, cool. And it was interesting. It was a cool way to put people together and, you know, and that normally wouldn't probably sit and, you know, write together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was there ever a point where you were like, can we just, like, get this record out now, or?
Yeah, there was a few points of that were like that. But honestly, when you got that many people working together, it does take more time, just straight up. Yeah. Especially if you're trying to find a way to make sure everyone's involved, and, you know, you got eight guys in a band, essentially, you know.
Right. Yeah. And I want to say to our listeners, Tommy, we know you had a long radio interview today. You got a show, and it's hot in here. We appreciate you taking some time out to talk to us, man. It really
sure. Thank
nice
you all
you.
Very much. Yeah. Keep
thank
it going.
You. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, man. Appreciate it.
All right.
See you guys later. Thank you.
Fly, to fit the monkey and fling some snow.
All right, Patrick, I would say that that was a good day.
Yeah, that was a really good day. We got to talk to a member of probably both of one of our all-time favorite bands, and I think, obviously, you know, it'd be great to talk to Paul sometime, but Tommy was there from the beginning and all the way through the end, and basically Paul's, you know, kind of soul brother through most of that band. So it was really an excellent experience to meet him and talk to him.
And I would say, you know, Tommy, I think, holds a special place to Replacements fans, don't you think? I mean, if Paul is sort of the soul of the band, then Tommy's the heart.
He is. That's right. That's a good way to put it.
You know, and I think...
Beating heart, yeah.
Yeah, people always connected with him. I mean, it's a most bizarre story that he started playing in this band when he was 12 or 13 years old.
Right, exactly.
And like, people now, like, you think that's a joke, like... But no, he was like, I mean, we're talking like playing in clubs.
That's
and
right.
Going out on tour and stuff
and
like
then
that.
Going to high school like the next morning. And he quit high school to be in the Replacements, essentially. There came a time when he had a choice. Are you going to stay in school or are you going to go on tour with the band? And he said, forget school. I'm no good at it anyway.
And think about that. He had a just sort of a natural, I think, inclination to play the bass back then. I mean, he picked it up really quickly and played really well.
Right.
And then just think of the number of years now under his belt. And, you know, he's definitely a seasoned musician. He knows how to put on a show.
Yeah.
You know, he's learned. He's been doing this practically his whole life.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Essentially, that's all he's ever done, really. Yeah.
One funny thing about the bass during the show that night, because now, of course, he's the front man and he plays guitar. Yeah. At one point, he broke a string on the guitar and, you know, they had to switch out guitars or whatever. And he was like, yeah, that's what happens when you get a bit, when you give a guitar to a bass player.
You know? Right.
All right. So please listen to Rock in the Suburbs. It doesn't end now.
No.
We're going to go on tomorrow and the rest of the week because you're listening to it
every day.
Every day. You can find it on the podcast platforms like Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, Stitcher, and TuneIn. You can find our website, suburbspod.com. You can listen to the show there. We have all those episodes embedded, all the past episodes there, and some really fun little show notes.
Yep.
And then also you can find us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Uh-huh. The handle is suburbspod.
Everywhere you find your social media.
That's right. Please email us your comments about Bastion Pop Replacements or anything else, rock@suburbspod.com, or you can call and leave a message, and
then
we'll put your voice on the show. That number is 612-440-1984. Okay, and so Patrick, I mentioned that I saw Bastion Pop in the first group. It's all different guys now, but the sort of the same kind of spirit of having a real band. And I saw them back in Chicago. The funny thing was when the Replacements broke up, they actually played their last show in Chicago. Mm-hmm. I was living in northern Illinois, Rockford, so about 70 miles away. But we would go into Chicago a lot for shows.
Yep.
And I didn't go to that last show. I went to one of the last Replacements shows, the you know, before this reunion and everything, but one of the last ones in Milwaukee at Summerfest that year.
Mm-hmm.
And then they ended up breaking up at Grant Park in Chicago. They sort of left the stage, handed the instruments over to the roadies, just left the stage, walked off, and that was the end, right?
Yeah.
But then, being such a huge fan, and you know, being in my early, mid-20s, I bought all the solo albums that came out. So there was the Paul Westerberg solo stuff, and Tommy did Bastion Pop, and Chris Mars put out a solo album. That's really quite good.
Yeah. Or Shoes and Hand Grenades is very good. And Slim,
Slim
put
did
out.
Too. Yep. I got all that stuff.
Great.
And I went to see Bastion Pop in Chicago, and I remember it being a really good show. And here's the curious thing. As I mentioned earlier, the makeup of the crowd at this recent show at Songbird, they were really into the old stuff, the stuff from the first record.
Very
so he played a lot of that stuff. I mean, he's treating it like this is sort of a continuation of that band story, even though they only did the one album in 93 back then. Called Friday Night Is Killing Me. And they, those songs got a big reaction from people.
Yeah. Really interesting.
And in particular, the song Friday Night Is Killing Me was like a big sing-along at the end. Everybody got into it at the chorus and all of that. So I think that would be a good way to close this out.
Sounds good.
All right. Thanks for listening. I'm Jim Lenihan.
I'm Patrick Foster.
And we'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheesier. But like everything with them, it kind of runs their course.